Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by Jacob Sanderson every Thursday morning to do our game-by-game preview of the DFS slate on DraftKings, the main slate. We are not to the bye weeks yet, so very full slate, but a bunch of injuries that are going to influence what ends up happening here. High-level view, we've got some healthy team totals. The Ravens, very healthy team total. Jaguars, very healthy team total. One game that everyone is going to be locked in on the Chargers and the Vikings. And I mean, probably the biggest question is, like, can the Bears punch back against the Kansas City Chiefs at all? Like, have the Bears just gone to zero as a franchise? How are you doing today, bud?
I'm doing good, man. This was a really fun week. For some of my guys. We only had one completely debilitating and depressing injury instead of two. So that's progress, I guess. Hopefully we'll get down to zero this week. And we got a really fun slate coming up. So I'm pumped to talk it through.
So I am guessing, beginning with our first game here, that Indianapolis traveling to play against Baltimore. I'm guessing Richardson's not going to play.
I think not.
Kind of just like, why push it? He got banged up in the first game. He self-reported concussion symptoms in the second game. Like, it feels like if it's on the borderline at all. I think the spread is also telling us that Minshew is going to be the quarterback. The Ravens are bigly favorites here. Now, I do love the Ravens in this spot. I think that they're going to come in at way lower projected ownership than, for example, huge favorite Jaguars offense, the Chargers Vikings guys. So I think that also, you know, Hockenson is going to draw ownership this week. Last week I played in the spy, I did Lamar and Andrews, and combined their ownership was 6% when you added it together. That might even be high on these guys this week. Lamar's been running extremely bad with the touchdowns. I think just one week of positive variance, like, completely gets him there. And, you know, there are worse bringbacks in the world than Michael Pittman Jr. at 6,200 and Josh Downs at 3,500. With Minshew went 19
especially
of 20.
Minshew.
Yeah, he went 19 of 23. Also, you are a Residence Colt guy. Is Zach Moss going to play every snap at running back again this week?
I think yes, or damn near close. I mean, Deion Jackson had the most never again performance of all time in week one. He might like be cut from the team. They signed Trey Sermon this week. One of our favorite running backs around. So maybe Trey Sermon is the breather back. But yeah, I remember after week one, I was like, in the offseason, I said Zach Moss was not relevant. And then I watched Deion Jackson be the worst running back I've ever seen and Evan Hall get hurt, and Zach Moss is about to be extremely relevant. And yeah, he was. I think it's probably not going to happen against Baltimore this week. Like, I think they're just going to get blown out and Zach Moss might play a million snaps, but that might result in, you know, 14 carries for 41 yards and no touchdown. And all of a sudden, what do your snaps do for you now? So I'm probably not playing Zach Moss this week. I agree with you. I would play Pittman or potentially Downs, or if you
Downs,
really want
Downs
to be,
might yeah. be our new short king. We got Downs short is. King. We got short king Tutu. We got short king Tank Downs. I mean, why can Downs not be our next 168 pound wide? I guess Downs is technically like maybe 5'10". You're not allowed to be a short king, but he weighs 175 pounds.
He's a short prince.
Yeah, I'm granting him exception. I mean, he's played a ton. He has 12 targets through two games. He's got a 75% snap share. And most importantly, he's not running the Alec Pierce wind sprints. Like, whatever Alec Pierce, Alec Pierce is going to zero. Minshew, I think, should get to like 40 passing attempts here. I guess the only interesting thing is, would you consider playing Gus Edwards if Justice Hill does not play? Sounds like Justice Hill has turf toe. Edwards could get to 20 carries here.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could. It's just he has no receiving value whatsoever. So you basically need two touchdowns from the Gus bus or 100 yards. And I mean, the Colts are that funnel defense. Like, they actually have really good players in the front seven with DeForest Buckner, Grover Stewart, and Leonard and Speed. So I think for me, it's the way to beat the Colts just continues to be to air it out. And I think Gus probably has like a low efficiency, high volume game, which works if he finds the end zone twice, but you need him to find the end zone twice.
Yeah, I'm with you. I
would rather play like Andrews, Flowers, Jackson if I'm playing the Ravens side.
Yeah, only spot here. I do think I might again run back Lamar and Andrews in my high stakes single entry stuff. I mean, it's Thursday. I got time to decide, but just getting those guys who can combine for 60 points like pretty easily at cumulative ownership, like lineups that have them together, probably sub 2% of the entire field. Yeah. Like it's pretty appealing to me. And I do as a bring back.
I agree with that. And I think Pittman's fine too. So far, my top single entry lineup each week, I've just stacked the Colts game, and I'm strongly considering going 3-for-3 on the homer sacks. It's easy. I'm watching the game anyway. We have a really bad secondary. They play at a high pace. It's just really all the ingredients are there.
All right, next game, probably the biggest question to figure out of the slate is for the Cleveland Browns. Does the Tennessee Titans run funnel mean that Jerome Ford is actually a bad play? Does Kareem Hunt do a couple sit-ups rolling off his couch and then immediately come in and play more snaps than Jerome Ford? I got the Kareem Hunt slappies, man. They are out of control. I made a couple pro Ford posts yesterday and people are like ready to like find my home address for Kareem Hunt. I mean, it's unbelievable. So whatever Jerome Ford would have been owned without the signing, I mean, I think you can take him down to like 20% below that, you know, in cash games. And then I don't think he gets above 25% or so in tournaments. I mean, there's the Titans have stuffed running backs 2 weeks in a row. They are a quote unquote legitimate pass funnel. My opinion would be, I don't really care. I think Ford worst case gets like 16 carries and 3 targets here, should get the goal line work. I mean, it would just be, maybe I lose this bet over the long term and Hunt is actually the lead back. But with 4 days of practice, it's hard for me to see Ford getting unseated that quickly.
I agree with all of that. I have a Hunt slappy who does know my address because I was at work the previous day, and the usual procession at my office is people just start to knock on my door and they're like, hey, like I have these waiver claims. Like, what should I add up for these people? And so I have a partner knock on my door. And it's like, I lost Nick Chubb. Like, what do I do? And I was like, you need to bid like all of your free agent acquisition budget on Jerome Ford. And he does it. And the next day he comes in, he's like, they just signed Kareem Hunt and I spent 100% of my fab on Jerome Ford. Like, and so I would say like Jerome Ford retaining his job is necessary for me retaining my job at this point. So I'm really hoping for Jerome Ford to have a successful week. It is our weekly tradition now that every week there's a 5K free square running back playing the Titans. So if you want to know what
we were not in on Jamal. I was in on Kelly. I played Kelly in all my stuff. Yeah. I played Kelly. I don't really feel that bad about it, honestly. Like Kelly is not good, but the Chargers just had like, I think a pretty poor game plan, but like, again, it could have gone Kelly's way. And Ford, I think is a perfectly cromulent running back. Like, I don't think he's really good. I don't think he's Nick Chubb, but I think 80 yards and a touchdown. Like I will probably play Ford in tournaments, even at 20% projected ownership or whatever.
Someone asked me, by the way, can you use the word cromulent without the prefix of perfectly cromulent? Or
No, you can't.
Perfectly cromulent?
Because that's the way they used it. That's the way they used it in The Simpsons, which is where cromulent was invented by, I don't remember which writer now, but that's the way they use it in the show. So you have to use perfectly. You have to use perfectly before it. Right now, our friends over at RotoGrinders have Jerome Ford projected for 26% ownership. I actually bet that goes down a little bit.
I'm betting the under.
Yeah. And he's projected for 13 DraftKings points, which again feels completely appropriate, completely fine. There.
Yeah, I agree. I'm playing Ford. I did not play Williams. I did not play Kelly. I will be playing Ford. I also, this is like me, this is probably a bad take. It's almost certainly a bad take, but I do think that like a Watson double is like not the worst possible idea against a really bad secondary. No one's gonna play it.
It's extremely good leverage.
He will be like 1% owned, along with like, well, Cooper will be owned. But I don't think that like Watson and the rest of the
Moore has 16 targets through two games and was so close to a good game against the Steelers. He just kept getting 1 foot out of bounds. I think you could do something like Watson, Moore, Njoku. I mean, you want to talk about someone who's not going to be on 4,200, David Njoku, like, might actually be sub 1%. Like, in the spy, he, like, might actually be on under 1% of roster.
Who is clicking David Njoku?
Right. Yeah, it's just a weird price. I don't hate that. On the Tennessee side, not really interested in Derrick Henry in this particular slate. There will be slates I'm interested in him. I just don't love it here. You could definitely talk me into Burks. And
we will be martingaling Treylon Burks every single week on this show until it hits, I think. So
yes. Yeah. I mean, although you already lost a bet against all of your Twitter followers saying that DeAndre Hopkins will not practice on any Wednesdays, and he did practice on this Wednesday. So you gotta eat that one. Chig seems fine to me. 4 targets. His routes continue to be good, but I actually might just be all in on Dalton Kincaid this week. His targets per route run is like off the charts. Like I literally might just play Kincaid on every roster against the Commanders. All right, next game, we have the Atlanta Falcons against the Detroit Lions. The Lions can get a
fun game.
Well, if the Lions can get up 10-0 here, it might be off to the races. This might be the game that you need, because everyone's cheap other than Bijan and St. Brown. St. Brown is questionable. I would not be going back to the Josh Reynolds hoping for him to catch 2 touchdowns. Maybe famous last words. Maybe he just keeps doing that every week. But Laporta looks really good. Gibbs looks like an unreal good play. 9 targets last week. Would assume that with knowledge that David Montgomery is not going to play, he maybe works into like half the running back carries instead of 20% of them. I think Gibbs might be the best running back, like sub 10% owned play this week. And then London is 5,000. They very clearly were trying to get him involved last week. They threw him a wide receiver screen on the first play. And I mean, speaking of martingaling, one Mr. Kyle Pitts, I mean, our friend Ben Gretsch, God, do I love stealing signals, is so good. And Ben will just, I think he's going to have to do this every single week. He's going to have to do the Kyle Pitts diatribe. And he's like, he drew an end zone target. He drew a DPI. He did a very clear explanation of how Jonnu Smith and Kyle Pitts play a different position. So when you look at the box score, it's not as bad as you think. He ran a route on 92% of dropbacks. Look, it does a little golf. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Kyle Pitts team, I'm not going to tell you no.
Yeah, like Ben is my personal Kyle Pitts therapist. Like, it's really important, because all day I have to be the Kyle Pitts therapist for dozens of people. But then when I find myself doubting the advice and the pharmaceuticals that I dole out to my patrons, I require Gretchen's services. So I'm very grateful. As I said in the first week, as a sign of personal growth, I have not yet played Kyle Pitts this year in daily fantasy sports. That does change this week. I will be playing Kyle Pitts this week in DFS. I fully embrace whatever happens. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson out. So ideally for the like pseudo tight end slot receiver-ish position that he plays, there should be a little bit of room to run. It's a fun game. I mean, what I was excited by with Atlanta last week is that, you know, they're still going to have games clearly where it's just an inhospitable environment for fantasy production in week one when they get to play from ahead and Ritter looks bad. But what we did see at least last week was, you know, they still had a run heavy lean, but when they had to play from behind, they functioned like a real NFL team. Like functioned like a real
to a little bit. So what actually happened was that the Packers offense sucked ass. I think the Packers ran 39 plays and the Falcons ran 78. So you look at the box score and you're like, oh, Ritter aired it out. And he did kind of more than you'd expect. But I believe it was in the second half, it was 14 passes to 27 rushes. Like, it just, Arthur Smith is turning me into
some of those
Joker.
Are Ritter scrambles too.
Sure.
Like, so it was 32-45 was the total split for the game, passes versus runs. But there was 40 dropbacks total.
Okay.
So, like, if Arthur Smith is giving me 40 dropbacks, like, I didn't even think he was capable of that, honestly. I'm going to take it, okay? Like, I don't, if he's willing to do that, fine. The fact that they still were willing to play fast, like, they passed a little bit. Ritter had, like, 19 pass attempts in the first half, actually. Like, they actually seemed like they intended to play a relatively balanced game plan. I'm not saying they're going to pass a lot, but I agree with you. If the Lions go up 10 to nothing, I think that the Falcons will play to win the game this year. Unlike like last year, they would be 2-0.
They have to. Like, their division sucks. Right. Like, the Falcons can win this division if Arthur Smith can just be a little bit open-minded. Like, a little bit.
I have so many Falcons futures. Like, I have Falcons for the NFC South, Falcons best record in the NFC, Arthur Smith coach of the year. Like, I'm watching every Falcons game, and I've like become a pseudo Falcons fan. This is a crucial game for my bags. I don't know that I'm going to play Ritter. That feels a little bit unnecessary, but I will play probably the Lions side with Pitts for London bring back, or I'll just play like a 1-1. I'll just do like Gibbs and
Ritter.
London,
Ritter
and
can't
Pitts.
Get to 25 points without a rushing touchdown. And no. Bijan right now is projecting for sub 10% ownership, with Pollard drawing a bunch, ETN drawing some, Ramondre drawing some, Gibbs drawing some, Mostert drawing a lot against Denver. Like, it just Bijan, if you just played Bijan every single week that he was below 8,000, like, he'd probably just come out ahead. He's unreal. And
okay.
if the green zone work tilts to him over Algier, he could score 25 fantasy points a game, like, pretty much no problem. All right, yeah. Next game, honestly, to me, like, no plays from New Orleans and Green Bay. Maybe $4,300 Kendre Miller. Maybe I could psyop myself into that.
That seems like signing up to watch Tony Jones see 15 carries and wanting to jump off a tall building to me.
Yeah, I mean, Jaden Reed, Watson's going to play, but Jaden Reed continues to get open. I don't know. He's 3,800. Like, he's fine. I prefer Dell, probably, assuming that that Dell plays. He's also listed questionable. And as I mentioned, Luke Musgrave, 83% of routes last week. Like, he's fine. Whatever. Absolutely no issue. But we got Kincaid. And then, Olave too. Like, Olave is 7,000. Yeah. He's a smash.
Olave is in play, I think, every single week, regardless of matchup. He's just one of the best receivers in the NFL. So totally down with him. If you want to do the Jaire Alexander, are you worried with Chris Olave? Worried? That probably maybe puts Thomas or Shaheed into play. They've been willing to pass at a decent rate this whole year, and they're probably going to be even more willing to pass since they don't have any running backs. So I think like every Saints receiving option is like viable. I just don't know like what exact lineup I find myself like needing to play one of them. Would you go back to the AJ Dillon well if Aaron Jones sits again?
No,
you can't
he
do
just,
it anymore.
It's like I think I finally reached my point where I'm done. Like, AJ Dillon is just Kyle Pitts at running back, where I'm like, this guy's really good, and then he just continues to show that he's not good. Like, I've got AJ Dillon in all these dynasty leagues. I started him last week. I was so ready for it. And, not to say he can't get there, particularly like he's basically Gus Edwards. AJ Dillon is basically Gus Edwards, like, at this point, which is horrifying, because I really thought he was going to be a good NFL player.
I also thought he was really good, and he's probably not. We've had this happen to us a few times where we get the free square running back and they mega flop the first week, and then nobody plays in the second week and they smash. Like, so my like, I remember this happening to me once before take is that AJ Dillon's probably a somewhat underrated play, because you get the fresh new free squares versus the old ones. And like, realistically, one game shouldn't shift our base projection that much, but it is a bad matchup for him, and he was woefully bad last week in a great matchup. So hard to get excited about.
Yeah, and he is still, like, the price is not, like, he's 5,700. Like, and I guess we'll see if Aaron Jones plays or not. I wouldn't be that into Aaron Jones if he does play. This seems like there's just not going to be a ton of plays in this game. Both of these teams want to run. Green Bay literally ran 38 plays on offense last week, which is part of why Dillon did not end up getting there. It could have flipped. But the next game actually I think is interesting, because the Jaguars have been pass rate above expectation, and the Texans have thrown 44 and 47 passes in their two games. They are big dogs on the road. ETN, I really like in this spot. Lawrence, we'll see if Ridley maybe like is not as owned because of the stink bomb last week. But a Trevor Lawrence, Nico Collins, Calvin Ridley team. And I mean, my guy, Tank Dell, 10 targets, 72 yards, and a touchdown last week. I'm totally comfortable going back to that. I mean, Tank is going to be like giga chalk this week. So maybe a way to go against that in tournaments would be to play. And I literally can't believe I'm doing this. This is how Kareem wins.
But Robert Woods.
I don't think I have the actual ability to click the button, but it's one of those things you say on a show because Woods will be 2% owned and Tank Dell will be like 16%.
But how much is Nico going to be? Like, let's just go get our air yards.
Nico will be pretty owned, I think. Right now, RotoGrinders says Nico is the third most owned wide receiver.
Okay.
They don't have
You've gone mainstream, I see.
They don't have Dell super owned, which I guess is, I mean, this will probably just be wrong. Like right now.
That's gotta be wrong.
Yeah. People yeah. This is not Tank right. Dell. Yeah. He'll Tank Dell will be the most popular punt wide receiver option, but Nico will also be popular, but like literally no one wants to click Robert Woods's name. So like, it just is what like, it is.
I feel like 3 to 4 years ago, Davis would be so excited about Nico Collins right now.
I am excited. Yeah. I bought all the way up in best ball. I guess the one thing you would be a little bit worried about is that he does run the sort of routes that are like a little bit harder to complete when you're down 10 points, like where the defense kind of just understands that's coming. And you
but nevertheless, argue, he's persisted.
Sure. And I mean, like, yeah. I don't really foresee any scenario where the Texans go into a shell and don't throw 43 times in this game again, you know, so the pass attempts are going to be there. But it just like I watched all of Tank Dell's targets. I actually posted a video of it and they are all like the easiest throws CJ Stroud is ever going to make, you know, like he's wide open. He's 8 yards away from him. Like it just on full PPR. It just I don't. Tank Dell's getting 10 here, basically, at a minimum.
Yeah, I totally agree. Dell's an awesome play. If you're playing this game, I think it just comes preloaded with Dell so that you can do the fun stuff. I'm also totally going back to Ridley. I don't know if I even mentioned this on the show last week or if this was an epiphany I had afterwards. Like, I think we talked about Christian Kirk a little bit.
Yeah, but we did.
The epiphany was that I remember the Robert Woods Thursday night game when Cooper Kupp had his massive season. And then Robert Woods had like the coach speak game where they had to be like, Robert Woods, like, we still value you as a part of this franchise, even though you're no longer anywhere close to our best weapon. Here's 12 targets. Now, like, be happy as the number two receiver for the rest of the year. That was that game for Christian Kirk this week. He wound up being a lock button play for me. And now I'm good on Christian Kirk. I think we're back to Calvin Ridley this week. It's a fun game. I mean, who would have thought that we would be wanting to stack up AFC South games all year long? But the Colts and the Texans are a blast, and I want to play both of their games every week because their defenses are ass and they're willing to pass through it. So I totally agree. I think especially with how much Etienne's drawing, like, I think anything Jacksonville passing is big time in play. And yeah, the Texans just continue to throw a million passes and be cheap, so they're kind of like Vikings South, where you get this like bad defense and an immobile quarterback and they just air it out constantly, so you're gonna have like potentially three weapons draw 8, 9, 10 plus targets every single week.
I'm with that. I think the Ridley thing or the Kirk thing is also explainable last week in that they were behind against the Chiefs, and so they were playing more 11 than 12. Like the Kirk thing is, I mean, it's going to be in games where you expect the Jaguars to have to pass more and be down. It's a good spot for him. Now, Etienne is also like an unreal play here. Like, Bigsby did sort of do what we thought, which was, okay, Bigsby was part of the week one game plan because that's how they planned it all offseason.
Right.
Then they watched the film and they were like, dude, Jesus Christ, I can't believe how bad you were. So the snaps, I think he played 19 snaps, so he played more snaps in week two, but got no touches. Dearness Johnson actually got a touch. So like Etienne.
Yeah, but all of his snaps, he had like 12 snaps on the final drive, just pass protecting when Etienne left with cramps. So all of those would have been ETN snaps, but he cramped up, and then they were just like, okay, Tank, you can go pass block, but we're not giving you the ball.
Yep. Yeah. So ETN is 6,900 on DraftKings. And I said this on the Swolecast yesterday, but like, if it's ETN's got 80% route participation and they're not giving Tank the ball on the 1 yard line, like ETN finishing with 314 fantasy points is like well within the range.
Hope so.
Like it because he was already going to be good scoring all his touchdowns from 20 yards away. But if you start giving him 1 yard touchdowns, he becomes like him and Bijan. It's sort of like the same thing. Like if they start to get those green zone touches, they get another ceiling in fantasy. All right.
The ETN Collins mini stack is like one of my favorite DFS stacks, which is, hey, this is a good play. And also I just get to root for all my best ball and high stakes teams at the exact same time as I root for my DFS teams. So I will be doing that.
Yep. It's the best. All right. Next game, Denver, Miami, super high team total for Miami. Jalen Waddle is questionable with the, he's in the concussion protocol. So
but reportedly was smiling at practice. So there you we take go. That for what it's worth.
Mostert, super chalk. Ahmed is banged up with a groin injury. Sounds like he's probably not going to play. Look, I really like Devin Achane. I'm a Devin Achane believer. I'm a truther. I sort of thought that with Jeff Wilson Jr. out and with him being activated and Chris Brooks getting no offensive snaps that like some fun stuff was going to happen. No fun things happened. It was just Mostert. Achane, not a play. Mostert, I don't know how much I love Mostert as like chalk. Like Mostert is, he's fine. I don't know. I think a great way to play this game is Tua, Reek or Waddle. Obviously, if Waddle doesn't play, I think Berrios is sort of an interesting pivot off of the Tank Dell stuff. But then the Denver, they're gonna be pressed in this game. And Judy has done nothing yet, but his routes and everything were fine. He is pretty priced up at 6,500. I don't know. I mean, I'm not that interested in the Denver side, but it does feel like the Dolphins every single week like might be the guys you need. Like they're just so efficient passing the ball.
Totally. I mean, and Denver's defense, which was really good last year, got brutalized by Sam Howell in week one, and Jimmy Garoppolo was able to shred through them without much resistance. That, I think, just without a pass rush, it's just not happening this year for the Denver defense. So I totally agree for the Miami side. Russ has been really productive for fantasy. I still think he's looked pretty horrendous and has been reliant on some nice moon balls. So probably not interested in the Denver side either, except for like, I don't know. Like I'd like to play Javonte because if they ever get a game where they're able to play from ahead the whole game, I think he would actually be very much in play because his rushing role is almost like monopolistic. But I suspect what'll happen in this game is they're going to fall behind again by a lot. And then Samaje Perine's going to go and run a billion check down routes, which seems to be how they've allocated those roles.
And so they're even playing McLaughlin now. You know, he gets the 3 yard rushing touchdown.
That was like, so stupid. Oh, I hated that.
And the rotation between Mims, Johnson, and Humphrey means that like none of those guys are playable. Troutman is playing all these snaps, but he is just like he's just a zero in the passing game. So I don't think he's that playable. I do think that you can play Smythe if you wanted to do to a Tyreek and Smythe. I mean, Smythe is never leaves the field and he's 2,900, but I don't think you have to bring a Denver bring back at all. No. I think you can just do Tua, Waddle, Tua, Reek. I do think that Waddle and Reek's role are such that it's going to be rare for them to get there in the same game, kind of like Lockett and Metcalf. Like their season end numbers are going to look really good, but there might be one game all year where they both get there. So I'm not going to play them together a ton.
And that's probably the game where you do need to bring back. Like that's the game where
that's
team 37, 35 points. And they need to just keep going like crazy. Like the Baltimore game last year, they both hit, I think, 30 points in that spot because Baltimore was pushing them. And obviously you needed Ravens in that game too, to have the nuts. That probably is not the case for this one. I mean, you can still totally play Miami without the bring back because they play so aggressively that they can get there in three quarters, even in a total blowout where nothing from Denver hits.
Yep. All right. The highest total game of the week, big chalk, the Chargers traveling to play the Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
Herbert, chalk, Keenan, the chalk, desperation Mike ball. Williams, chalk. I think you can actually play Parham. He ran more routes than Everett last week.
Stone Smart was also mixing into the rotation.
Stone Smart ran more routes than Quentin Johnston. So have fun staying for me, who drafted a lot of Quentin Johnston. And then on the Viking side, you'd have to stick bamboo under my nails to get me to play Alexander Mattison. But Justin Jefferson is the best play of the week. Addison is like such, I mean, Addison might be like he might be a borderline cash play. He got up to 78% of the routes last week. He's 5,500. He's really good. Hockenson is a smash. I will say my big stance on this game is I'm going to go back to Kelly. I'm going to play a bunch of Kelly here. Like the Vikings stink at everything. I mean, the Vikings stink at every aspect of defense. This is the high total, but Mike Williams is chalk. Keenan is chalk. Jefferson's chalk. Addison's chalk. Hawkinson's chalk. The quarterbacks are chalk, but it is literally no one's going to play Josh Kelly, who will play like 75% of the snaps at running back.
I think both of these running backs are actually great plays for the, I mean, they both suck. They're both like bad at football, but both these defenses are really brutal. I fully expect both to have really solid roles. Like maybe at some point the Cam Akers stuff threatens Alexander Mattison, but I highly doubt it's this week. So I think that both these running backs are super in play. I don't even care what the projected ownership is on the site, because I just don't think that it can accurately account for how much Twitter thinks that Josh Kelly and Alexander Mattison are incapable of playing football. So I promise you it's coming in lower than whatever it's projected as. I think every single team is good. I will just play it from both sides. I'll probably play the bring back as a running back more commonly than not. And I'll just either play like Cousins double with Kelly, and then I'll play Herbert double with Madison.
Sure. I mean, I like doing Herbert, Keenan, Jefferson, and then just getting some real stinkos in there. Although Herbert, I guess, has not gone like nuts this year because they scored two rushing touchdowns in the first game. But like the Kellen Moore thing is happening. Like they do look better on offense. They do look a little bit more dynamic. But I like right now looking at ownership stuff on a Thursday, like it's like looking insane how owned this game is going to be. Like,
I mean, maybe the way you do it then, if you're in a small field thing, is you're just like, fine, I'm going to play all this ownership, but I'm playing all this ownership. Like I'm playing Herbert with Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Josh Kelly, and Donald Parham, and Jordan Addison, and Alexander Mattison. Like maybe you do a 4-2 of this game and you just play like literally all of it and you just hope that it goes like 48-45.
Well, that would be like the Detroit Seattle game from last year. I think the way to do that would be Herbert, Jefferson, Addison, Keenan, one of the tight ends, whether it be Everett or whether it be Parham. And then you still got to include one sub 10% owned running back. Like you got to have like some pivot at running back. Like, I don't know, instead of, let's see, what is the right, like, what is a pivot off shock here? So like instead of ETN, you play Javonte or you play Brian Robinson against Buffalo or like something like that. Like you got to have like a couple, probably actually a couple real off the board plays there. But
go ahead. Josh Palmer at 3,300 and 70% row participation is just staring at me. I'm not
sure.
Lie.
No, I mean, that's like, do that. I mean, do Herbert, Keenan, Palmer, Jefferson, Hockenson, and there you go. Inside that game, you already, and KJ Osborne too, I guess. I mean, I don't think I've got the stones to do it, but same play, but on the Vikings. There. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The New England Patriots against the New York Jets. I mean, Ramondre's fine. Ramondre's fine. The Jets are going to be stone chalk on defense. I'm not into Bourne. I'm not into Devontae Parker. I don't know. What does Garrett Wilson cost? Garrett Wilson is 6,800. Sure. Garrett Wilson. Sure. But like the Patriots, Mac Jones leads the NFL in passing attempts through two games. I mean, does he top 20 passing attempts here?
Unlikely.
Yeah.
I mean, Pat's D probably has some cover from Dallas D and Jets D, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, the Jets are going to be mega chalk. The Patriots, I actually don't think will be all that chalk right now.
Cause people will want to play Dallas and people will want to play the Jets. So I feel like Patriots come in third. And in like most weeks, Bill Belichick defense against Zach Wilson would be like 40 if you didn't have like two slightly better plays. So that's probably my flag plant of this game is Patriots D.
I don't hate it. I also don't hate Ramondre. I mean, like, I think that he seems pretty good. He's just like in a weird salary range and he hasn't scored a touchdown yet. But like the Zeke stuff is just so unserious that I think even Bill Belichick knows that it's unserious. And like in a game where, well, I don't know, but the pass blocking stuff, they do like Zeke as a pass blocker. I don't know.
My only hesitation with the Ramondre stuff is like, all their first two games followed the exact same script, so we don't really know. But they basically played Ramondre and Zeke in a borderline even split in the first half in both games, and then Ramondre played almost all the snaps in the second half. And I don't know if that was like kind of the plan going in of just like, we're going to keep you fresh for the first half and then unleash you in the second half, or if that was a, we actually want this to be 50-50 for the entire game, but when we fell behind two touchdowns, then we're playing you. And if it's the latter, then you probably don't want Ramondre against the Jets, right? Like, you probably want Ramondre in a game that they can't win. So I think we'll find out some more information on that split this week if they get a game that's more neutral script. I don't think that they should do this, clearly, but I could foresee a scenario where if they do play this game from ahead, that it's like 52% snaps for Ramondre and 48% Zeke, yeah, and we all hate our life.
Yeah. And I mean, look, Brees is 5,600. If you want to play him, I'm not going to tell you you're dumb, because he's one of the best running backs in the NFL. And I did, the Michael Carter snaps are the ones that seem like they'll go to zero when they're feeling better about his knee.
I agree.
The Buffalo Bills and the Washington Commanders, James Cook, gold star play, and Dalton Kincaid are gold star plays. I think that Dotson and McLaurin are both good correlated plays there. And like Brian Robinson Jr. just keeps scoring 20 points every single week. So he's like roughly five. Bills defense actually is a really good play in this game at 2,900 against how really like to eat sacks. So that, and he, their direct salary leverage against the Jets, who are 2,800. But yeah, gold star plays here for me are Kincaid and Cook. Cook's role is so good that actually we were just talking about this with Etienne and with Bijan. But if he starts to get, you know, 33-year-old Latavius Murray, if he just doesn't sub on the 4-yard line, like James Cook is on pace to smash.
Yeah, I totally agree with all that. I think probably only doing McLaurin and Dotson in like Bills stacks. Not sure if I'll get the Bills stacks this week, but I definitely could see it. They're viable every week. And yeah, I love the Bills D call. Sam Howell is on first team irrational confidence. Maybe it's rational confidence. Like, he actually makes some great throws, but he will attempt anything. He will hang in the pocket. He will scramble around. He will throw it into tight windows. Could see the Bills defense having an absolute day. So definitely like, yeah, everything. I think like every single Bills player in their main rotation is viable. Kincaid and Cook being the best. I agree with that.
You gotta ball to play Kincaid, because there are a lot of value tight ends that like Kincaid is going to get completely lost in the shuffle. We got Jake Ferguson. We got Zach Ertz. We got Musgrave. We got Chig. Like there are a lot of value tight ends. Kincaid is not going to be that owned, but like we saw this in cash last week where Musgrave was the better projected guy, but the ball knowers played Kincaid. Like the Kincaid stuff is coming. They're so serious about getting him the ball. 26% targets per route run.
Oh yeah, I'm very into Kincaid this week and probably every week.
All right, Carolina and Seattle. Carolina zero place. No place on. They're not good. They don't have anyone get open. You know, if I lose because Adam Thielen at 3,900 beats me, you know, go with God. I just like Thielen. How many targets did he get last week?
He had like 9 or 10.
He had 9 targets and a touchdown, and he got to 20. So I guess if he does exactly that again, I lose. You know, that's fine. I'm fine letting Adam Thielen beat me. Seattle, Kenneth Walker is awesome and is going to continue Fantastic to be awesome. Play. Yeah, he's just so freaking good. He's 6,400. Does not present. He actually might be the best running back play of the week. Maybe him over Gibbs, because he is just going to be running downhill this entire game. The DJ Dallas snaps were minimized a little bit last week. Charbonnet's upticked a little bit, but they clearly don't have big faith in Charbonnet. And I think Kenneth Walker had 9 green zone touches last week against Detroit. Like, there's no question that that is his role. And Metcalf may not play. Lockett is always a good play, honestly, because of the role that he has. Metcalf is fine if he plays. Seattle probably doesn't air out a ton here. But JSN, another uptick in snaps. Targets per out run remains good. His ADOT was 2.5 last week. Again, I just think he's like his role will grow. I actually think it's just a bonus that he's playing at all right now. Like, there was certainly a range of outcomes where he was playing behind Jake Bobo for the Seattle Seahawks right now, knowing how they do things. So I think it's just a bonus he's active. And much like the AJ Brown breakout game, much like the Justin Jefferson breakout game, there's not going to be like a clear trend line that says, all right, we're ready to give JSN 11 targets in the game. It's just going to happen. And I don't know if it's going to happen here, but I do think he's a play.
Yeah, I think it's viable. Like, math brain would say, like, why not here? Vibes brain is just saying, like, that the Seahawks have had to play in, like, this carnival game in Detroit. And Pete Carroll looks at Carolina and he's like, finally, I can just establish it.
He literally cannot wait. It's actually probably more likely that we get a Charbonnet breakout game here, that we get 24 carries for Kenneth Walker, 12 for Sharps, but a touchdown for Sharps as well.
Yeah, like, this just seems like the spot where Pete Carroll's like, all right, let's settle it down here and run it 35 times against this hapless Carolina Panthers team that poses no threat. Andy Dalton's probably playing quarterback this week for them. Like, Bryce Young didn't practice. Frank Reich was already talking about game plan doesn't change if Andy Dalton is in there. I don't know if that makes the Panthers' weapons better or worse. Like, I feel like Andy Dalton is probably like a comparable quarterback to third game of Bryce Young's career, honestly.
Sure.
I don't know. If I was going to, like, stack Seattle, I'm totally fine with, like, Mingo or Thielen as a bring back. I just don't think I have any interest in, like, stacking this game. It's probably just Walker as a one-off and maybe the Seattle defense.
Yeah, what is Seattle? Seattle defense, 3,200. Again, just like a
lot of great defense plays.
Yeah, there are a lot of great defense plays. Like, I guess that is just the situation we're in the NFL right now, which is that there are a lot of bad offenses and defenses seem to be ahead. Speaking of which, the two chalk defenses, the Cowboys and the Cardinals. The Cardinals are like a decent defensive unit, and they're also 2,300, so people are going to play them this week, like, just to get salary stuff figured out. The highest projected owned play in this game, couldn't agree with it anymore. Our Lord and Savior, Tony Pollard. I mean, just
and I will play it.
Yeah. Oh, no chance. Like, I said this last year when Zeke was out, but, like, I do not look gift horses in the mouth in DFS because the gifts are so few and far between. Pollard is first in the NFL in expected points. He's actually run a little bit bad. They gave him 33 touches and just a no doubt
win. Unnecessarily.
I mean, they should have been giving that to Deuce.
It was like a poor decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's a jam. He just is. He's got 11 targets. He's getting the green zone touches. I mean, he's going to smash here. He's probably going to be the guy that you need. Do you need to use a bring back? I mean, I think you can. I think you can play Hollywood. I think you can play Ertz. Yeah. I mean, Ertz, like, he's got 18 targets through two games. And, you know, Dobbs,
and he's going to see 18 targets just in this game. Because, like, Micah Parsons is going to be staring at Josh Dobbs like part of a nutritious breakfast for the entirety of this game. And all he'll be able to do is just throw 3-yard stick routes to Zach Ertz before being eaten alive.
Are you a little impressed with Dobbs? I'm a little, like, the baseline of what I expected for Dobbs, he's definitely above that.
Well, I have a high baseline for Dobbs because as a Canadian Colts fan growing up, I was like, I guess I need to have a rooting interest in college football. And I just Googled, where did Peyton Manning go to college? And it said the University of Tennessee. So I just chose to root for the Volunteers ever since. So I have watched more Josh Dobbs than most. And I love Josh Dobbs. He was the first quarterback that ever made Tennessee, like, borderline respectable. So it was an absolute privilege watching Josh Dobbs and Jalin Hyatt go back and forth in that game.
Yeah.
Dobbs was sick. I loved it. I actually had to play him in a couple of dynasty teams where I lost Aaron Rodgers able to acquire a quarterback.
So I bid on Dobbs in all my dynasty leagues, all my super flex ones.
He's my most owned player in dynasty. I have him on like 20.
Because I was like, no one else is going to bid on this guy. I have a team with Mahomes, Lawrence, Mac Jones, and Kenny Pickett, where I just picked up Dobbs. And I used Dobbs's points last week because, you know, it just uses the best points. So it's like, feels pretty good. I mean, not that I would play Dobbs, but I think the right way.
No, we're not playing Dobbs.
If you really want to get gross, Jalen Tolbert is 3,100 and he ran ahead of Gallup last week. That is like
playing this week, I think, right?
Let's see here. I assumed a multi-week. He got a limited practice in on Wednesday. We are recording this Thursday morning, so they haven't practiced yet. Obviously, if he does play, you're not doing Tolbert. I wonder if this is a spot where they, you know, they keep the vet out because they're like, it's the Cardinals, right? Who cares? It's definitely possible. You also, I think you can get away with Ferguson. He scored a touchdown last week. They've used Hendershot and Schoonmaker a little bit more than I anticipated. But again, it's not that we're going to get information here, but it's been hard to tell because they have not played a competitive quarter of football yet. Like they,
no.
Like,
they look
when
so
are the
good.
Cowboys, when are the Cowboys going to play a real game? Let's see.
Don't they get the 49ers next week on Sunday Night
Football? Nope. They get the Patriots at home. So they don't, they're not going to play they're not going to play a real game until the 49ers on October 8th. And then maybe 5 weeks into the season, we'll actually get an idea of what the Cowboys want to do.
And it won't be on the main slate. That one's the primetime game. I think you could I think the Dak sacks are kind of in play just if you want to leverage off of Pollard and
sure.
Like, if you just want to say, the Cowboys are scoring 35 points in this game and their pass rate will suck, but what if all the touchdowns come through the air? I think that that's totally viable.
I mean, their pass rate sucked last week, and CeeDee had 13 targets and 143 yards, and CeeDee is huge leverage off of Keenan, St. Brown, Jefferson, Waddle, and Ridley.
Yeah, so I think you could do, a leverage stack where it's, Dak, Lamb, and Ferguson or whatever. And I also think you can just do the onslaught of basically just say, this offense is the Dak Pollard Lamb show. And so if they score 40 points, I get all of them. If you play all those three.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's fine. All right. The final game. Just repeat 2022 again. The Chiefs have the highest team total of the week. Although I did see a great stat that two of Patrick Mahomes so he's played 96 career regular season games and two of his four worst EPA games came in the first two games this year. There was a funny play where it was third and eight last week against the Jaguars, and he's just running around and doing the Mahomes thing and spinning and running, and he gets so frustrated he just threw it to a lineman. No one could get open, so he just threw it to a lineman, and the lineman caught it and sat down and was like, well, I guess I'm just not gonna fumble it here. But they don't have anyone who can get open. Richie James is not gonna play in this game, and Tony did not practice on Wednesday, so it might be we might get a consolidation here where actually the wide receivers go down to MVS, Sky, Watson, Rice with Ross rotating in for 10 snaps or something like that. Kelsey's routes should also probably come up this week. He only played 56% of the snaps in the first game back from his bone bruise last week. You can talk me into Mahomes and Sky this week. You can also, Jacob, if you wanted to, you could talk me into Naked Fields this week.
Oh, I will try. I am all here for the vibes-based Fields analysis this week. Everything is bad. The Bears are a shit show. I imagine 70% of your competitors in any DraftKings small field single entry tournament has seen the JT O'Sullivan QB school on YouTube. The Bears vibes are bad. At the same time, we have Fields going out there, calling out his coaches, wants more freedom. To me, this feels like the Fields fuck it week, where he's just like, look, I'm looking at my first read, and if that first read is not open, I'm running. That's my vibes-based take on what Justin Fields is going to provide. You also have Roschon Johnson, who only played 42% of the snaps this week, despite, if you log on Twitter, I think they would tell you it was 78%. However, the beat reporters are saying he might emerge as the primary back. Even if he doesn't, he's clearly the passing down preference. And I imagine that there's the passing downs will be starting at the 5 minute mark of the first quarter in this game. So I can see a scenario where even if the ideal role distribution has no change, that Roschon just plays 70% of the snaps anyways. I think there's a lot of fun to be had on the Bears side. I think the Chiefs are going to put up a lot of points. The Bears are going to lose this game by a lot. and you could just have Fields in DGAF mode. I will play Fields. I don't even think you have to do it naked. Moore finally had a legitimate role last week. I think he's playable. I think Roshan is playable, but maybe not with Fields. And the Chiefs, I mean, the Bears defense is so bad. It's just, are they ever going to give Tony more than 15 routes, or do they think he would explode if he surpassed 15 routes? Because he's the only receiver that's capable of making plays. Like
he ran 19 routes last week and sprained his toe. So
we got the toe sprain.
That might be your answer. I mean, the actual answer is Rice. I mean, to start to supplant Sky snaps with Rice. Now, I've also seen this take bandied about that Watson actually looks like one of the few guys who can play, because at least he's got a verifiable skill, which is that he can run in a straight line and
he's
get
just
open.
The better version of MVS.
Yeah. Yeah. And he can run block a little bit. I mean,
yeah,
we'll see.
MVS needs to be banished. Like let's retire Marcus Valdes-Scantling. Like we don't need him anymore. Justin Watson can do everything he can do better. MVS is brutal. If we can displace those routes, society will have progress. Mahomes plus two. Don't ask me which two. and Fields, I'm all in for. Like with all the ownership going to Herbert and Cousins, and then some on Mahomes, some on the Jacksonville Houston game, some of the other games we talked about. Like, what do you project that Justin Fields' ownership is in a small field tournament? It's not going to be high, right?
Even with the galaxy brain, like, because I'm obviously like, there will be people who have the same thought, like, this is going to be the game where he flips a switch. I don't really see any way he gets above like 5% in small field stuff.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna plant my flag here and say that Rice is the guy you want with Mahomes this week. I think he gets up to like 25 routes. Maybe also lower stakes here, you know, like the first two games they played, they lost at home to the Lions and they had a high stakes game. Like, they could not start 0-2. It was a pretty high stakes game against the Jaguars. So they just needed to play, you know, good old fashioned, keep the ball, don't make any mistakes football, like lower stakes here. So I think Rice is my guy. Flag plant play of the week, Jahmyr Gibbs against the Detroit Lions. That is where I will be. I think you could get like 9 targets. I think he could, let's say 13 rush attempts. That feels like the absolute ceiling, but he'll be pretty good on those 13 rush attempts.
I will play them, but you shouldn't play is Alexander Mattison this week.
I can't co-sign this. I'll say Josh Kelly is my all play.
It's the exact same. The exact same play. And I think both make perfect sense, because you're playing a player whose like approval rating is lower than Donald Trump and Joe Biden's right now. And you have the opportunity to leverage a game that everybody is playing through the passing game with this pukey running back, even though they themselves will catch some ownership from the opto bros. So that's my case for Mattison. It's a sad case. My flag plant play is Justin Fields. You get all of these games with pocket passers that will have a lot of ownership. And I think you could play those games through, you know, receiver plus receiver, receiver plus running back, and then just add in Fields and hope that these games get there. But Fields has this explosive rushing game and is able to even distance past those pocket quarterbacks at very low ownership and give your lineup a unique feel. So I will be flag planting Justin Fields this week.
All right. I love it. I'll do my single entry flag plant is Lamar and Mark Andrews with a Josh Downs $3,500. Bring it back, everyone. Make sure that you are following Jacob. Make sure that you are reading Thinking About Thinking. Make sure that you are subscribed to the Full Tilt Dynasty podcast. And I will be back tomorrow with one Mr. Rich Rebar.